O ye banker, we also call soothsayer.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the Morning Open. Speaking at a conference in London today, Bank of America Chief Executive Ken Lewis said the worst of the economic downturn has likely passed. And he says conditions will not get worse as much as feared. The banker's bravado comes after his bank raised about $13.5 billion in a common stock offering of $34 billion the government says the bank needs. We find out how investors are digesting all that by asking, where's Wall Street? Dow is up about 1% at this hour. As a matter of fact, all three markets up more than 1%. NASDAQ up about 18 points, 1.1%. S&P 500 up about 1.3%. Asian markets basically flat, some up, some down. Over in Europe, shares are mixed right now as well. Let's talk to Julie Nieman from Smith Moore & Company, joining us live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
Thanks for being with us this morning. B of A's Lewis, of course, getting all positive now on the economy, at least more so. How much traction do his words get, given what the banks raised, but also all the banks' loan losses, all that's ahead of us?
Well, it's more to the flip side. Basically, investors are so happy there's any underwriting going on at all, new issues coming to market, and there's even relief that they could even raise that amount of capital. Now, the big concern here is consumers are going to fall behind on their credit cards even more, and mortgage debt is going to be rising even higher. But everybody put that aside so that they could at least get this issue out on the street. I think it's undue optimism at this point.
All right. Well, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is before the Senate Banking Committee right now, Julie, and in a prepared statement that we got a look at beforehand, he projects financial institutions will repay billions of dollars, about $25 billion, I think, of their government rescue funds over the coming year. How much credibility does he have, and how much confidence does it inspire?
Well, the TARP is working. There's no doubt about that. But the question is the risk to the system from the institutions who are too big to fail, AIG, Citigroup, Bank of America, and what happens to limiting the size of this risk. Basically, he's talking about putting in a new regulatory authority to oversee all the financial products, the Federal Reserve. It really has to be the SEC. It wasn't that they failed just to detect Madoff and everybody. They don't have the basic enforcement power at this point because their budgets were decimated under the Clinton and Bush administrations. They need experienced securities lawyers and accountants under Pitt and Cox. The SEC was a lapdog, not a watchdog. They need the money.
So, of course, that testimony going on Capitol Hill right now. Julie Nieman joining us from St. Louis this morning. Thank you so much, Julie.
You bet.
We appreciate it. Today we're also hearing a lot about hindsight and quarterbacking in the nation's economy and the crisis that we have. If the retirement fund had done this, then maybe the 401k would have been safe, or had these procedures been in place, it would have stopped all those nasty things from developing. Well, the Obama administration wants to look forward by learning from the mistakes of the past, and they figure a consumer umbrella agency could help the country avoid a similar financial mess in the future. Here's Marketplace's Janet Babin from North Carolina Public Radio.
The new commission could cover everything from mutual funds to home mortgages. It may also be in charge of insurance. Right now, these financial products are regulated by a mixed bag of agencies, both state and federal. Duke University law professor Bill Brown says before the financial crisis, many states tried to regulate mortgages and other financial offers, but got caught up in Washington.
When it got to the federal level, the federal guy said it's none of your business. And so unless we rely on 50 states to pass their own various versions of laws like this, I think the federal solution is much better.
Some industry groups oppose the idea of more centralized regulation. They fear it would just create more competing bureaucracies. The administration is still deciding what the new overseer would look like and precisely what it would be in charge of. Congress would have to sign off on the White House plans. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Listening to the Morning Report on Wednesday, May 20th, 2009, at marketplace.org. Paying for health care reform is on the agenda at the Senate Finance Committee in Washington today. Members are looking at ways to pay for insurance for the 46 million Americans who have no coverage. The price tag? $1.5 trillion over the next decade. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports on the options.
One way is to squeeze waste from the existing health delivery system. Proposals include digital record keeping and incentives to keep people out of hospitals.
All the things that people are talking about have a real potential for savings long term, but not to get people covered in the short term.
Harvard University's Robert Blendon says it'll take 5 to 10 years before those improvements bear fruit. In the meantime, senators are considering taking away the tax deduction for employer-sponsored health insurance. That would mean a smaller paycheck for most workers. The White House prefers cutting broader tax deductions for the rich. And there's the idea of higher sin taxes, including, for the first time, sugary soft drinks.
You're going to have to pursue a source of revenue that's really quite large, and the soda bottle and the cigarettes and alcohol doesn't do it by itself.
Senators are trying to find a bipartisan solution that avoids turning too many powerful interest groups against reform. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The Irish low-cost airline Ryanair is introducing some new fees today. Passengers will be charged to check in online. From the European desk in London, here's Stephen Beard.
Starting today, Ryanair's passengers will be required to pay around $15 each for booking and checking in online. They must print out the boarding pass at home, and if they turn up at the airport without it, they'll be charged a hefty $120 penalty. The airline spokesman, Stephen McNamara, says this is all part of a move to scrap the checking in procedure at airports, which is both costly and time-wasting.
We want to remove the instance of passengers queuing up at a check-in desk. And also it'll help us to lower our costs, and therefore we'll be able to reduce our fares even further.
But Ryanair's critics say the $15 charge for checking in online obviously makes a flight with the airline more expensive. The carrier's additional charges have long been controversial. The airline caused a storm by proposing that passengers be charged for using the onboard restrooms. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Hey, remember this?
Hail to the king, baby.
Well, if you do, you're probably a longtime gamer. That's from Duke Nukem 3D, one of the biggest action games of the 90s. The company that made it, 3D Realms, has been promising a sequel called Duke Nukem Forever, and they've been promising it forever. A dozen years, in fact. Now video gamers wonder if a better title might be Duke Nukem Never. Here's Rico Galliano.
This week, 3D Realms confirmed it's laid off the entire development team for Duke Nukem Forever due to lack of funding. George Jones, editor-in-chief at GamePro magazine, says it's just the latest disappointment for fans.
I think it was like April of 97 when they announced the sequel, and 12 years later, there's nothing. It's pretty amazing.
But what could have possibly taken so long? Jones says the team working on the game was understaffed, so they kept falling behind the moving goalpost of cutting-edge technology.
The way you build games is you kind of have a core foundation of technology. It's called an engine, and the engines change every 3 or 4 years. They become more elaborate, and it sounds like they got into a place where they had to chase the technology 3 or 4 times and completely restart.
3D Realms says it still intends to create games around the Nukem franchise, but now it has to contend with a lawsuit from a company called Take-Two. That outfit owns the rights to market and distribute Nukem Forever, and it's not happy about another delay. Knowing our legal system, the lawsuit could be resolved in about, 12 years. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
It's hard to believe that any chain is expanding in this financial mess, but Whole Foods, the higher-end and organic grocer, keeps bucking the trend, even when people seem to be shopping less. In Chicago today, it debuts a massive store that company officials hope will bring the shoppers in by the experience and by the selection. From Chicago Public Radio, Adrian Hill reports.
Most grocery shopping is pretty straightforward. You grab some milk, pick up a box of cereal, maybe some bananas. But at this new Whole Foods, it's hard to stay focused on your shopping list. The store is an enormous 3-floor structure filled with natural light from windows that run the height of the building.
We kind of envision this as a meeting place, or a place where people can hang out.
That's Whole Foods spokesperson Kate Klotz. When you enter the store, the produce section is to your right. To your left is a bar.
In the day, it'll be a coffee bar, and then in the afternoon, it will transition into a local beer and wine bar.
You can actually tote your pint around while you shop. There's a full food court. You can eat lunch sitting next to the Chicago River. There's even a place to dock your kayak. The experience is part of what Whole Foods is hoping will get people to come in the doors. Neil Stern is a retail researcher from McMillan Doolittle.
The coffee bars and the sushi bars and the wine bars and the places to sit and eat have all sort of grown what we call entertainment retailing into the mix. And Whole Foods is one of the masters of doing that.
But he says Whole Foods has to do more than just be a fun place to shop. Especially in a recession, Whole Foods has to convince customers it doesn't deserve the nickname Whole Paycheck.
So it is more expensive. And if push comes to shove in an environment where you simply don't have the money, I think consumers are having to make that trade down.
The grocery chain has been working on the cost angle by pushing its cheaper private label brands. It's also trying to explain why natural and organic food costs more and reminding shoppers that it sells more than gourmet truffles. In Chicago, I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
Just got word this morning that Target reported a 13% slide in profits for the first quarter, although that did beat Wall Street expectations. There's more at our website, marketplace.org. Of course, you can check the stock market there and also share your thoughts at the Scratch Pad and our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, inside marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.